When you're in love, you're in a hurry. Jesus is in a hurry. So he does first come to his people, but as we read in chapter 1, his own people did not accept him. So he's not going to linger and cry and sit in the corner and suck his thumb. He has no time to waste. He is here to love. And so he goes immediately beyond the chosen people. The bridegroom, the haste of love, goes beyond that inner circle to communicate the love that he has come to communicate. Jesus must love the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. So as I suggested, starting in chapter 4, there are these three Gentile encounters. Jesus encountering outcasts, cast out in different ways and for different reasons. The Samaritan woman by the well in Sychar. The royal official whose son is ill in Capernaum. And the sick man at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. So the first of these is with this woman of Samaria. So it's interesting, the last encounter we looked at was Nicodemus, so we went from this encounter in which Jesus reveals the necessity to be born of water and the Spirit to this encounter in which Jesus is going to reveal the necessity to worship in spirit and in truth. So the bridge between the two is the Spirit. Why not? So let us read through the encounter one time, just to have it before our eyes and before our hearts and minds, and then we'll try to open it and shake it and see what falls out. Chapter 4, and we'll go all the way through verse 29. So fasten your seatbelt. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing just his disciples, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat there at the well. It was about noon. Now keep in mind, every detail is important. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Probably not with that tone, though. It's all I can do at the moment. His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Anointed. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking with you. At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, What are you looking for? Why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Messiah? It's a very moving encounter. It's probably just sufficient just to read it, and we can go home with that. But let us try to dissect it a little more. Jesus, as we read, leaves Judea to return to Galilee. Jesus is not that he's the avoidance type. But when there's no real openness, Jesus moves on. Again, he has no time to waste. There's this controversy, and so Jesus leaves Judea and returns to Galilee and passes on the way through Samaria, a region obviously in which live Samaritans, whose origin is difficult to pinpoint. I tried to do a little bit of research and was more confused after the research. So I closed the book. Suffice it to say that they are considered by Jews to be non-Jews, even though there's some lineage and some connection. But the Jews say, no, you're not one of us. In fact, we don't want to have anything to do with you, so good luck. And Jesus passes through their community. Supposedly there's maybe 800 left in the world at this time in history. Jesus deliberately passes through their community. And Jesus, as we read, comes upon Jacob's well. An unusual place for an encounter. But if we think back, the book of Genesis, didn't Jacob meet Rachel there? So a place of historical, intimate encounter. And Jesus is alone. Interesting detail. It's the first time since they were initially called that the apostles are not with Jesus. There again, not haphazard. Why? Their presence until then was not an issue when Jesus was encountering. I mean, they were close by. It's not exactly or explicitly said where, when he met Nicodemus and all these other encounters and events, they're with him. So why are they not with Jesus now? Well, first of all, they were not a very refined bunch. And in their presence, it's easy to imagine that this woman would not have opened her mouth. These imposing semi-barbaric gentlemen just hanging around Jesus, they probably would have intimidated her, and she just would have gone about her business. And so Jesus sends them, as we read, into the town to buy food. So go to Whole Foods, nothing artificial, and come back later. And what's interesting to read is that Jesus awaits their absence, in other words, to be alone